Welcome back to Restless. My name is Father Joseph Gill, priest of the Diocese of Bridgeport, and you've joined myself, Diane, and Gianna. Together, we young adults restlessly seek the face of Christ in the poorest of the poor. In so many ways in which we can encounter Christ. We've got the Eucharist, prayer, the beauty of nature, which has God's fingerprints all over it in fellow believers. But Mother Teresa had that great insight that you can find Christ in the poorest of the poor, who reveals the suffering face of Christ. So I'm curious, you know, have you ever done a third world mission trip? You ever been serving the poor in any capacity?
No. Not a mission trip.
No?
No, I've never. I mean, when I was a kid, I wasn't really part of a youth group or anything, so I don't recall ever thinking about that. In college, I don't know. I guess I just sadly never really had an interest. I mean, I've certainly served at like the soup kitchen around Stanford and some of the clothing sort of sorting centers, but no, I've never been to a third world country or to any state in the US for a mission trip.
Oh, wow. I think that we need to do one then. Let's organize one. Enough of these retreats you go on. Let's do a mission trip. Let's go serve. What about you, Gianna?
No.
Oh, so no. Man, maybe we should pick a new topic for today. No, I'm just kidding, because I think there's still a lot we can talk about. I have not done a different country, but I did do a mission trip out to Turtle Mountain Native American Reservation, which I guess technically is a separate country.
Yep. Well,
Technically reservations are not a part of the United States.
Yeah, so this one was about maybe 12 miles from the Canada border up in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And we went over spring break in college at Steubenville, and boy, it was cold.
I can
North
imagine.
Dakota in March.
Yeah.
It was, well, the cool part was actually, so there was a church, a school, and a rectory, and they were all connected by underground tunnels, so you never had to walk outside, which is a brilliant move. But it was fascinating to me in a lot of ways. We did a lot of different stuff. We taught in the school. We did a couple of retreats for the kids. We did some jail ministry, which was really fascinating. Mm. We did door-to-door ministry, like inviting people to come to church. And it was really interesting. And of course, the poverty struck me. As anybody's ever been on a Native American reservation could say, you know, It's a different kind of poverty than anywhere else in the country.
I believe it's called Pine Hill Reservation. I think that's in South Dakota. That's one, I think they ranked it as the poorest place you could live in America.
Really?
That reservation.
Really?
Yeah, I watched, I took a North American Indian class in college, and my teacher showed us that particularly, because the whole point was, you see all this poverty, but the Native Americans' ancestral home or whatever is also Mount Rushmore, and apparently there is money gathering interest up in the billions now for this tribe. Hey, if you let us have these lands for certain things, you get this money, and they won't do that.
Really?
And you see the poverty, but you see all this money that they could have to end that poverty. It was very fascinating. Brings up a whole different set of issues, but like you said,
right,
it's a different sense. It's the poverty that you see is mind-blowing.
Well, in part because I don't know the money can end the poverty, right? Because, you know, a lot of Native Americans do receive checks from the government, probably not very big ones,
right?
But, you know, it's the government's attempt to, oh, we're sorry for taking your lands here, have this money. And it's actually just leading to deeper poverty and deeper depression and despair. And,
and
we didn't really see the despair. You know, I mean, we worked a lot with the kids who were very just joyful and happy, ordinary kids. But you could see it in their houses because they were tiny, ramshackle. I mean, literally sometimes just, you know, a few boards thrown together with a little insulation.
Mm-hmm.
But every house had a satellite dish. I remember that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think in part because there's no jobs. So what do? They watch TV and they drink.
Right.
And there's just not a whole lot of the agriculture or future or like anything like that. So that's hard, you know, because sometimes, especially if you do a short-term mission trip, you know, you feel like, well, how much good can I really do in a week?
Mm-hmm.
You'd need to really to invest in that community. And then the question is, would they accept you?
Right.
You know, because you're an outsider, and you don't want to be like, okay, this is patronizing or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I think just in terms of just this whole topic, right? I mean, we are all, God loves us all in a particular way, and He's given us gifts and charisms to show forth His glory in a way that is different. You know, each of us is different. So I think, you know, some people definitely have that gift of sort of like the missionary heart and the desire to serve, but it's really a matter of finding out or praying about like what does God want me to do? Because I don't think that you have to go away to another state or to another country to to serve. I think that there is so much suffering, and oftentimes I think people, especially in high school and college, can get super caught up in just like, I want to go on a mission trip. I want to, you know, I want to do this thing. And I think that's all good and well. But, you know, a lot of times it's just being faithful and obedient to where we are right now, our vocation, you know, like the people right in front of us, our family members, our friends, our work colleagues, because those are, you know, like, it's very... I don't know. Maybe it's more fulfilling, the thought of doing something grand and big, but it's really just like in the ordinary circumstances of life where, you know, we can make a difference and
yeah.
and still have that impact.
A mission trip to Bridgeport's a lot less sexy than
yeah.
Ecuador.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Doesn't look as good as on your resume. Mm-hmm. But
it's not about what you could post on social media.
Right, right, which unfortunately for a lot of people it is. Mm-hmm. But that goes exactly to Mother Teresa's quote, which is, you can find Calcutta all over the world if only you have eyes to see. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what are some of the ways in which you see poverty? And I'm not necessarily even talking about material poverty, but what are some of the ways in which you see poverty as a young adult living in Stamford, Connecticut, which is a pretty wealthy town?
Let's start in high school for me, because that's when all the phones and everything came out. I was the only one, as we discussed last time, I was the only one that didn't have a touchscreen. I didn't want a touchscreen phone. And I can't tell you, I did all 4 years, and believe me, I had a great time in high school. I loved all my friends. You know, I still talk to a lot of people from high school. They're wonderful. But I was 4 years in a building where I watched everybody look down. And I was the only one that wasn't looking down. And I went through 4 years where people would look at me and say hi, but they wouldn't look in my face. They wouldn't look at me because they were too busy looking down. And I think about that, and I'm like, wow, I went through all that time, and nobody could look me in the eye. Nobody else was living life right there, right then. No one was looking at this part of our lives like I was. Yeah. Everyone was distracted with the phone. And I knew that they weren't seeing it like me. And that way I saw suffering, because they were completely, you know, not aware of it. And don't get me wrong, after college, when I got to meet up with all of them again, oh my God, they were looking me in the eyes. They were talking to me, and it was beautiful. It was wonderful. And I was just like, why couldn't this have happened in the 4 years we were in high school together? And that way, I see the suffering of people in my own age group. Nobody's living for now, in the now, and nobody looks in each other's faces.
Yeah, I'm part of that's a maturity thing. But imagine, I'm sure that there were a lot of very lonely people in that high school who could have used a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Who didn't have one because they were sucked into social media.
Yeah.
That's definitely a type of poverty, without a doubt. In fact, you know, Mother Teresa, when she came to America one time, she was given a tour of one of the finest nursing homes in our country. But she noticed that no one was smiling. You know, they had great TVs and, you know, beautiful rooms and everything. And she said, why is no one smiling? She said, because nobody comes to visit them. And from that, she concluded that America is poorer than Calcutta.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think, to your point, Gianna, social media has just wreaked havoc. Social media in particular, because people are just, you know, basically looking for affirmation in all the wrong places, which is stemming from a problem mainly due to like lack of God in their lives, you know, because they're looking for love and to be affirmed, right? And that's a desire written on the human heart, but it's a desire that only God can fulfill. And I think social media is just, you know, especially for young people, it's you know, there are so many filters. You can make your life look pristine and perfect. And, you know, the people who are posting those things are often the most unhappy, you know, like seeking the attention, seeking likes, as opposed to actually going out and forming real relationships. And to Gianna's point, kind of living, you know, the sacrament of the present moment, where we're being present to kind of where God has called us today, as opposed to thinking about the future or focusing on sort of, you know, comparison and what our neighbor is doing, all of those things. And I think it's led to a ton of unhappiness, because people don't have real friends. They're just in their phones all the time. I mean, it makes me so sad. It's not just young people. It's parents. You know, I go into a store and they're not paying attention to their kids because they're looking at their phones. So, you know, it's not just the kids. It's the culture. And, you know, like, we live in a day and age too where we have instant access to TV, movies, all these streaming things.
People have more than one TV to watch all the streaming things.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's people are just, it's like this culture of consumption such that we're never really like taking time to be silent, be with God. And that has led to so much anxiety and depression. We saw that come out during COVID, right? When they shut everything down.
Yeah.
All of these sort of, you know, I don't know, girls developing eating disorders, guys just, you know, pornography, all this stuff that is a result of just this basically living in a fake world.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I mean, there's definitely a lot of different poverties. Two that come to mind for me, of course, is abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the fact, and Mother Teresa said it's a poverty that a mother, that a child must die so that we can live as we wish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something that in a civilized country, it's mind-boggling that it can even exist. And I'm certain that in the future, God willing, soon, it'll be unthinkable. And I know Roe v. Wade has been overturned, but there's still
so much work to be done.
Well, right. I hope so, because I mean, I went out to Stanford to pray in front of the abortion clinic for the 40 days for life, and within the 5 minutes of being there for my first time, got honked and the finger from someone driving down, you know, Fifth Street. So
only once? That's not too bad.
It was only once, but yeah.
Usually, I get more disapproval.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's just it's a shame that people just have become so callous to think that this is a right to kill a child.
Yeah, I mean, it's a type of poverty.
Absolutely. A living human being. It's unbelievable.
The other one that comes to mind, that maybe it's because I had been assigned to an inner city parish for 3 years, is that immigrants really do suffer a great deal. And whatever people's view politically on the immigration question, I mean, there's certainly a lot that needs to be done to reform the system and make it not as, make it more human-based, you know, not as political. But there's a lot of people who are really just struggling just to try to make a better life for their family. And I think, you know, there's a lot of systems that try to enslave them in slavery to the material goods. And that was one thing I saw a lot, was the pressure for parents, who immigrant parents, to have their kids fit in, was the pressure of materialism.
Mm-hmm.
So if the kids want to fit in, they have to lose their Catholicism, lose their culture, and get the Nikes and the smartphones and be just like everyone else. And that's a poverty too.
Definitely.
You know, not only do they sometimes struggle to put food on the table, but like the pressure to continue to buy stuff for their kids to...
Yeah, and it comes from, you know, other parents who they're surrounded by, but also, like, their kids are subject to, unfortunately, bullying is real. And, you know, so these kids are experiencing kind of just a lot of wounds. And when you're young and not really formed, you know, like, you can give into that peer pressure.
So, I mean, we've talked about a lot of different problems just in our own local communities, you know, the problem of being kind of disconnected from one another through social media. Like, what do you think is your Calcutta? Where are you called to serve? Where are you called to make a difference in this world?
Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Tell us why, and what are you doing to make a difference there?
Well, I work in that courthouse, and what I saw the first week when I learned, and I knew this, when I knew being an office clerk in the civil clerk's office, you have to deal with family cases, meaning divorce, I immediately was like, oh no, I can't do that. That's like against like what I believe. Like I can't touch that, because I personally have felt that I am helping these people make these decisions to destroy their lives and everybody else's lives. And the first week I was there, I touched my first divorce and I just felt my stomach like sink. Like I felt so sick to my stomach. And the worst part was, I said to myself, you're feeling this way now, but I bet you it's just going to be like nothing, which is going to make the whole thing worse for me. It's going to be like nothing. It's going to be like any other day, which is what it's turned into. And I've shared this with everybody. I went to confession and I told the priest, and he said, Gianna, this isn't something you need to confess. These people made these decisions long before they came to you, you know? So don't think you are involved in their choices. You're not. This is just where you are in the world.
Yeah.
So where I'm called to serve is, these people already are angry enough, or these people think that everybody's against them already, or these people are just ready to just like hack your head off, right? My thing is, I'm God's child, and I approach this not by saying I'm the woman on the other side of the window, not I'm in this part of society and you're on this part of the society and this is what my job is. I've looked at it as, you are my brother and sister in Christ, no matter how low you may be and how sickening the situation is. You are my brother or sister in Christ, and I will treat you like I would treat anybody. And I see some people that are just either taken aback by the kindness, forget in an instant their anger, or people that have just genuinely said to me, thank you, I appreciate it, thank you, because every day in this world that they live in, that I have no idea about, they don't see that. And if I could be a break for them,
yeah,
even for like true. 2 minutes, I've done my job.
They probably have a pretty hostile, they probably encounter hostile people every day
mm-hmm.
if you're going through a divorce. And,
mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a really tough thing to do, because I'm sure you do see some heartbreaking situations.
Oh, it's horrible. It really is. There's so many different ways, like we said, there's suffering in this world. What I see every day is definitely its own world of suffering.
Sure, sure.
That a lot of people, I don't think, are aware.
And that's the type of poverty, too, to lack a stable family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, I mean...
What are you called to do, Diane?
Well, I mean, ever since I kind of got, you know, reverted to my faith, I would say, or started taking it seriously, kind of, you know, back in maybe 2017 or 2018. I mean, I think the first thing that God was calling me to do was to build up the young adult community in Stanford. Mm. So, you know, it was kind of serving within sort of the boundaries and the realm of the Catholic world, right? Of just,
oh, but that was a huge need.
That was a huge need.
Huge
yeah.
need.
Yeah. And so God really blessed that initiative. You know, like we went from basically when I started out of college, I felt like there were no Catholic groups around, no people to hang out with. And we built up a very solid, big group of people to the point.
And there's probably some happy marriages that have come out of that, you know, the group that you've founded. So you're kind of like, you know, that glue that...
Yeah, no, it is cool to see. There's certainly that. And, you know, I think that we've really... I've just, you know, I know one friend in particular who... was Catholic, kind of drifted away and came back. And
This is Javier. Well, yes. Javier was very open about sharing his stories on
yeah,
Restless.
So. Yeah, so I guess that's not anonymous. But, you yeah. know, to see the fruits of that, because we did a lot of things. Like, we started out with, like, fun things, hikes, whatever. And then we built in a lot of faith formation, too. So Bible studies.
The Bible studies were great.
They were fantastic.
Before COVID, I was involved mm-hmm. in them, and they were really, I mean, some great discussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, and like, COVID. We did the Bible Timeline by Ascension Press, literally going through the entire Bible. We did the Gospel of Matthew. You know, like, we organized, actually, you and I, Father Joseph, we organized street evangelization.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was great. And I'd love to take that to another level now with the Eucharistic Revival and sort of what we've got going on in the Diocese of Bridgeport, because I think that those special praise and worship nights, I mean, it's kind of right now the focus is on Catholics and bringing Catholics back in. But I think with the street evangelization, that's where I started to step outside the realm of sort of like getting into apologetics and thinking about not just Christians and Catholics, but like anyone, right? So like we went out on the streets of Stanford and we just asked, you know, are you interested in coming into the church to pray in front of the Eucharist, or to light a candle, or to go to confession? And if they weren't, you know, like we would just ask them, can we pray for you? We had many people break down, started crying, you know, all of these intentions. So it's just starting to touch, you know, minds and hearts. And, you know, so that was kind of the start of it. And then also we just... you know, recently launched a Young Catholic Professionals chapter in the Diocese of Bridgeport. And that is really the focus there. It's been one of my sort of passions is to help people to live their faith at work, right? Because I think that that's really a resounding question on people's minds in terms of, okay, well, I want to, you know, I want to glorify God, but how do I do that, especially in a secular work environment? So, you know, that organization focuses on, we bring in, you know, these executive speakers who have had many years of experience on Wall Street in these, you know, top positions and really have, sort of lived the faith, and they give advice about how to do that. And I mean, most recently, I guess at like PwC, I've been blessed to, you know, I petitioned to have a sort of a Catholic inclusion network, because we have these inclusion networks that are religious and race-based and all that stuff. And so, that was denied, but I guess the fruit is that I was appointed to the Christian leadership team. And so I've been able to, you know, like we were actually starting our, having our first national virtual rosary recitation. And, you know, we're also just, we actually have a virtual Bible study, and we're doing kind of a spin of an executive speaker series as well at work. So it's an opportunity to reach people at work, you know, who are definitely, you know, like there's, you talk to coworkers and there's plenty of loneliness and depression and stuff. So just to kind of like bring the light of Christ through all the channels that are given to us is a huge opportunity.
That's a beautiful thing to have that kind of mission. And
yeah.
And I think young adults are looking for a mission. You know, rather than just going through life, just, you know, going to work, coming home, watching TV and going to bed, like we want to live for something bigger and greater. And so like, what would you recommend to a young adult who maybe like wants to make a difference and change the world, but doesn't even know where to start?
Start with your church. For me, like I think I said this, 2020 with COVID and everything really made me say I want to get more involved in my parish, because I was just a churchgoer. That's it. Wasn't really doing much thinking. Didn't really hang out with anyone like with my faith or anything, nothing like that. So I've since become a lector. I've been a part of the RCIA group as well of my church since 2020. And just slowly,
where's your church? Which?
St. Leo's Parish.
Oh, St. Leo's, okay.
Yeah. So just very slowly, I was like, okay, what more can I do? What more do I want to do? And then I found Crossroads for Christ. And then they have all these opportunities here, you know. So start with your church. See what your church can offer you for you to help others.
That's a good point. That's a great point, because there probably are a lot of ministries that are in huge need. At my church, I'm looking for people to help me with youth ministry and so much more.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty of opportunity. I mean, I teach RCIA at parish too, but I would say even just simpler, really just think about sort of like God has given us all gifts. We all have charisms, and so we should pray and really just ask God to reveal what are my gifts, because that will tell you, like, your passions and your desires will lead you to where he's, you know, he's wanting you to serve. And I think, you know, I think there was a book, you gave it to me, Father Joseph, I forget the title of it, but it kind of just like, it goes through all sort of the potential gifts that you might have.
Oh, and so that you can recognize Fruitful Discipleship.
Yes.
Yeah. By Sherry Waddell. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's really a matter of just like, just sit down. It shouldn't be rocket science, you know, figure out what you like, what you desire, what you're good at, and use those gifts to serve other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you're passionate about, because there are so many needs. Like, that's the thing is, not everyone can fulfill every need.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of like, if you don't have a desire on your heart to be a missionary, a physical missionary, like going to a third world country or another state or whatever, well, be a missionary to your family. Be, you know, like we all have different desires, and it's okay if you don't desire that, because God has created your heart in a special way in order to, again, show forth his glory. And that's going to be different from the person next to you. So don't compare.
At the same time, don't be afraid to get outside your comfort zone.
That's correct.
Right? Because I mean, I remember when I was a senior in college, I had extra time. So I was like, yeah, I'll volunteer at a soup kitchen. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd ever worked directly with the poor and with the homeless. And it was an eye-opening experience and hard, because I was like, I've got nothing in common with you. But I was told by the owners, they're like, okay, once you're done serving, you have to go sit with the people and talk with them.
Yeah.
Because that's really what they are looking for, is just that human contact. But I'm like, what do I talk about other than the weather? Because what do we have in common? You know, not a whole lot. And at the time, I was much more introverted than I am now. Mm-hmm. So I was like really struggling at times. And I mean, luckily, the number one thing that people like to talk about is themselves. So you just ask a bunch of questions, you know.
Just be a good listener, right?
Yeah, just be a good listener. And some people, I mean, some people, they just need someone to acknowledge their humanity, you know, especially when you're homeless.
Yeah. But to your point, you know, like we basically build courage by doing courageous things, you know. So just like get out there and do it and pray for the gift of fortitude.
Yeah. And I think you'll find what doesn't work for you too.
Like, for sure.
There was one, we did, when I was at a seminary for one parish, they did this high school thing where they would do a different service project every day for a week. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, one was to work with people with mental disabilities. I found that so immensely draining and difficult. I was like, this is not my calling. Mm-hmm. But I felt really bad about that. I was like, but shouldn't I love serving the poor? And so I brought that to my spiritual director. And he's like, no, it's okay if you don't necessarily jive with a certain ministry.
Exactly. And I mean, there are other ways that we can do things, right? So like, if you don't feel called to be a third world missionary, well, you can still donate to your local soup kitchen or to the homeless shelter and, you know, things like that to help your community. So it's not like an out of, you know, I don't have to do anything, but it's just figuring out sort of like where can I best use my gifts, you know, to bring Christ to the world.
Yeah.
I mean, to end this on the funny note, like I really enjoy cooking. So I was like, oh, maybe there's a way I could cook for people who are hungry. So I knew my coworker worked for a homeless shelter. I'm like, hey, do you guys have chefs or anything like that, cooks? And she goes, yeah, if you're interested, here's the number to the manager of the homeless shelter. And, you know, I just got scared. And I just said, I don't think this is my time, at least not yet. And she said to me, are you going to do it? Like, did you ever look into it? And I said, no, I was just thinking, I just don't want to meet any ungrateful people. And she said to me, but Gianna, you already work with ungrateful people every day. And I said, oh, yeah.
Ungrateful people, yeah. And I would imagine they're probably the most grateful people. I mean, you're serving them a free meal. It's hot and probably delicious.
Right. You know, so she's like, what's the harm? You already work with people. Well, how worse could it get? I'm like, oh, good point.
Yeah.
So not for now. My calling's not to that just yet. But that's just a funny thing of like, or just a way you can think of like, how you can give back to others. And I connected it with something that I liked. So
good. And then, so did you do it?
No, I still haven't done
it. Oh my goodness. Come on, Gianna.
Well, see, God might be trying to teach you a lesson through that too, of just we come in with these sort of stereotypes and visions of what something's going to be. And often we're humbled through those experiences. So you should go out and do it.
You definitely should. Yeah, because I think you're so right. Like when you get to know people under the skin, they're all kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like we all have the same heart, hopes and desires. And one, probably the toughest mission I ever did was when I was in college another semester, I was required in part of the seminary training program to do some sort of ministry. And so when I lived in Rome, I did this ministry where I worked with soup kitchen for Muslim immigrants from like I don't know if they're like Afghanistan or Syria or somewhere in that area. And they would immigrate to Rome and look for jobs and everything. And it was really interesting. I mean, we spoke no common language whatsoever, but just through, you know, kind of like the service and through, you know, kind of like making hand gestures and things, you realize that they're people that have hopes and dreams and the people that have families and with loves and struggles. And they couldn't be more different than me. They're Muslim, they're foreigners, you know, but they're still humans.
It's a good reminder.
It is a good reminder. Because even those people in the homeless shelter, they're still the same people that you work with every day, just down on their luck in some respects, you know. Well, thank you for joining us in this episode of Restless. My challenge for you is to, sorry, my phone is ringing. I hope you can't hear that. My challenge for you is to find your Calcutta, because everybody has gifts that they're meant to give away. We cannot keep our life to ourselves. It's meant to be laid down for others. So look at your gifts and talents, look at your passions and the needs of the world around you, because you have a calling, it's necessary. So reach out, lift the hands and feet of Christ. You can find us on Veritas Catholic Network, 1350 AM and 103.9 FM, and wherever you get your podcasts. Tune in next time.
Hey everybody, this is producer Matt. If you liked this week's episode of Restless and want to help the show grow, please rate us, review us, and subscribe on your preferred platform. God bless.